Empire.
You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the urban sports scene.
You are listening to the urban sports scene with myself, Bole, and the homie, Will T. We are part of Empire Media, and you can check us out at empiremedia.com. Will T, what's good, my brother?
Nothing much, man. It's excited to get on here, talk some sports with you, and get closer to Thanksgiving.
I know,
Turkey Day.
I know, man. I'm trying to drop some weight because on that day, I go ham. Like, I go real ham. Like, I don't want to be shy and bashful on Turkey Day.
Nah, you never should be shy and bashful. If I'm showing up somewhere, I always bring my Tupperware with me. I let people know, look, it's going down, man. And before I eat, I actually prepare my takeout food.
You the man.
Put that to the side. Put that to the side. Put my name on it with a nice little sticky. And then I get ready to get into the business, handle my business,
Hey, bro, just because you said all that, I always make the joke about, you got African features and Nigerian features on your face and whatnot. Hey, bro, that is an African move for real. That whole statement you just said is a Nigerian move for real, bro. Like, literally, I used to give people side looks every time they come to my house with Tupperware. So I remember one time, not on Turkey Day, but I want to say it was my graduation party, and a relative came in this thing, dog, with a cooler type of Tupperware. This person brought like a cooler and put a bunch of rice in that mug, bro.
I don't go that hard. I do bring two pieces of Tupperware with me. One is going to be, for my turkey, and it's going to have my vegetable. And some sweet potato. And the second one, that's where I put my mac and cheese, and I put, maybe some mashed potatoes in there. Just try to keep it all separated, keep it together, So when I do get ready for that epic 1 a.m. seconds, it's ready to go.
I love the organization of it, right? I love how you have it separated. I love it, bro. You're the man.
Absolutely, look, man. I don't like certain foods. Combining the certain foods.
Yeah.
I try to keep them separate.
Hey, respect, man. Respect. And I don't know if I mentioned again, Ray Jeezy's out. Hey, Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kahn Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Football Team insider John Kahn, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. And you can subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the urban sports scene.
This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options and local news and health in the DMV region. Download Podcast DC app to hear all of Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates. Will T.
Let's get into our tradition of pregame.
Here's what we have on tap. We'll talk about the Washington Football Team's upcoming game against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. At 8:23, we'll do some Washington Wizards talk. At 8:38, we'll talk about Canelo Alvarez, TKO, and Caleb Plant to become the undisputed super middleweight champ. Finally, we'll make our Week 10 NFL picks.
All right. Let's get into it. All right. So, Sunday, Washington Football Team takes on the defending Super Bowl champs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Washington had a bye week last week, coming out of a bye. What would you like to see from this team on Sunday, Wole?
Bro, I just want them to compete. That's pretty much it. I think this team has shown this first half of the season to be outperformed. You don't see the same Will that you saw last season, regardless of the schedule, it's all about, you know, the output on the football field. You want to see people play hard, play, you know, try to play at a high level, play organized. And I just want to see a professional football team. I think it's fair to say, you know, a lot of, you know, we, you know, as Washington fans, what you saw last season was an upgrade from what we saw under the Jay Gruden regime and whatnot. But I think it's also fair to say is that we can go from season to season and actually be fair and grade a coach or an organization how they need to be graded during that season. And this season, to me, is very similar to how we would grade out stuff with the Jay Gruden regime. So, to me, like, we're going to grade out so far, and I know it's still relatively early, it's one half of the season, but we're going to look at the first half of the season. I think that, forget records, I think a lot of people get so enamored with records, and just in terms of what you see on the football field, it's fair to say this regime right now is not doing well, and a lot of things are unorganized, like the kicking situation, and how you cut a kicker that if you look at it from face value, was any better than the kicker that you decided to cut him for. So it's just that this organization as a whole, coaching, whatever, the situations happening off the field, is just a dysfunctional organization throughout, for on the field and off the field.
There are two things I want to see this team do, and they aren't related to football. Mm-hmm. One is counter. Counter meaning if Tampa Bay takes away Terry McLaurin, I want to see you be able to develop, also have a plan B or plan C,
yeah,
on how you're able to get the passing game going, and how you're able to keep Antonio Gibson in the game, quite frankly.
Uh-huh.
You know, keep him involved, you know, with passes out of the backfield, or, you know, using him in outside zone, inside zone, or power runs. That's one. Two, I want to see some resolve. I want to see this team, you know, of course, Tampa is going to be heavily favored. And we know that there may come a time where Tampa may be up, you know, 17, yeah, possibly 21 points in this game.
Yeah.
I want to see this team battle back. I want to see this team show that tough resolve that their coach, that personality of their coach, meaning Ron Rivera. I want to see this team battle back. I want to see them play discipline, and I want to see them not give up until the final whistle.
Yeah, I want to see that too. And it all goes to what's being – it's all about coaching attitude, right, Will? You know what I mean? Like, we look at a team in Baltimore, right? Regardless, you see them, they look bad in the first half. You know, then Lamar Jackson. It's Lamar Jackson. They got a franchise quarterback, so it is what it is. But as a team as a whole, like, you could see them fighting and clawing just to come back in the game. Even last week when they was about to, it seemed like they were going to lose to the – who were they playing? I'm trying to think who Baltimore was playing last week. The Vikings. Kirk Cousins, yeah. The Vikings.
Yes.
The Vikings. And it looked like, you know, the Vikings had that game pretty much had a stranglehold on the game. But if you saw what the resolve of the team, of not just Lamar, but the whole team, the defense made important stops. So you just want to, like, to your point, Will, you want to see that. Because you expect in this game for Brady to put up numbers against this football team. Like, you just expect it. And you expect for this team to be behind. But, like you said, I just want to see fight. Like, it's just compete. You know, and I want to see a team organized. Because at the end of the day, you're playing on the Super Bowl defending champs. And you have to be, you know, to even be competitive in this football game, you have to be organized. That means no missed assignments. That means, like you said, Wilty, countering. Like, that's something they did last season. Like, last season, with under this regime, it just seemed like they were a better football team in the second half of games. In this season, it just seems like that's not the same. Like, they're probably a worse – they all come back, but they're still a worse-off team in the second half. You don't really see that many adjustments. So – like you said, Will, you just want to see resolve. You want to see how you counter moves. Antonio Gibson, I think it's a time for him, and regardless of the injuries, to feed that dude and give him some more touches, because the jury is still out on if he could be a feature running back, because he doesn't get enough touches, right? So now you want to see him get the opportunity to get touches. It's a lot of things I feel like this team needs to do going into coming from the bye. They have to your point, I think it's a great point, they have to counter things. They have a counter because people are eventually going to take away Terry McLaurin. And also, in terms of becoming more of a running team, to be honest with you, because you don't have the quarterback. Like, so for you to think that you're going to throw 40 times and not have the guy is kind of ridiculous.
Another thing I would like to see, I would like to see this team utilize formations in the past game with J.D. McKissic and Antonio Gibson on the field. I think that creates a mismatch in the favor of the offense.
Because most likely
you'll have a linebacker, or you may have two linebackers following those guys in pass coverage. So there are opportunities there. So I would like to see that, and I want to see, you know, I've been hard on you about this for this past season and a half, but I want the Scott Turner thing.
Scott Turner?
Yeah.
What about him?
No, you've been calling for his head.
Said
he's a terrible play caller. I'm starting to
agree.
agree. You know, the more I watch this team play, and you know, it's you know, from a formation standpoint and a personnel standpoint, it's very vanilla.
It is. I mean,
it doesn't leave you guessing or anticipating anything if you're on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah. I just feel like it's sometimes sometimes people overcomplicate things, and sometimes you just got to be, you know, keep things simplistic as possible. Because sometimes being, you know, what's the term? Keep it simple, stupid. It gets to a point where, like, Will, we both coach together, right?
Yes, sir.
So, if you are, let's look at, and let's put it in a pure sense of this for Washington, right? You don't have that guy as a quarterback. You don't have Aaron Rodgers. You don't have Tom Brady. You don't have Lamar Jackson. You don't have the kid out of what's my guy out of with the LA Chargers. The guy I love,
Justin Herbert.
You don't have guys like that, right? You don't have a guy like that. Excuse me. So why are you putting it in the hands of a guy that, one, isn't accurate, two, doesn't have a good arm, he's very erratic in terms, so why would you put certain things on his plate where you're going to make things difficult for him? You know what I mean? Like, what, you know that he's late in progressions, right? He is. He's late in progressions. You know this, but you're willing to throw the ball on the fourth down play, fourth and one. You know what I mean? I just feel like you know your personnel.
Yeah, I get it. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to be as harsh of a critic
as I am. Yeah, cool.
Scott Turner, you know, on that on that 4-for-1 throwing the ball, because I mean, you gotta give the defense something different. And you know, most people would say, okay, they're going to run the ball.
Yeah,
they're going to run the ball, and they're going to run the ball behind the right, the strong side of the offensive line, behind the right side of the offensive line. Uh-huh. But no, he went out and he did something different. So I won't knock him for that.
Okay. No, I know.
But
I mean,
you will.
Yeah, I will.
No,
I sure will. I sure will, because I'm a firm believer of getting people what they can handle. Like, I'm not going to give you something that I'm all about the percentages in terms of this. Like, you got a running game that was effective. Patterson, Gibson, in terms of yards per carry, and even McKissic, you know, in that same game, they were, you know, getting over 4 yards a pop. I mean, around in that, I'm going to say about 4 yards a pop in that game. So they had an opportunity. Like, just take advantage of what you have. It's just like if you have Adrian, for instance, like you just said to your point, like, if I'm not calling these kids young Adrian Peterson, but if it's 4th and 1 and you got Adrian Peterson, and like you said, you can go a different route, but you have Adrian Peterson. And again, I'm not saying these kids are Adrian, those backs are Peterson, but I'm saying they're being productive. Like, you're going to feed them, right? You're not going to say, oh, well, let me try to trick them. I'm just saying, especially if you don't have the guy to trick him with. That's all I'm saying. Like, I'm not, but you're right, though. I get trying to be creative, but it also, you got to look at your personnel. And for the last two seasons, you know, the excuses were first excuse was, well, we got Alex Smith and him, he was limited because of, you know, his leg. Now you have, I mean, you chose violence, right? But you chose not to go out and get a quarterback, right? You chose to get these quarterbacks. Like, you chose to have a Fitzpatrick. You chose to have a Kyle Allen. You chose to have a Heinicke on your roster.
No, I don't think that's 100% fair, Wole. Uh-huh. We know that they were
trying to get Stafford.
They tried to get Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
We know that they tried to make a couple other plays, but at the end, ultimately, it was the cost. It was cost prohibitive.
Yeah.
Right. Now, one could say,
yeah,
that you know, if you're Ron Rivera, your former, a guy who took you to the Super Bowl.
Bruh, there you go. Better than these guys.
Is available. why haven't you at least knocked on his door?
Facts.
I don't know. Maybe there's something there that we – maybe there's a dynamic at play that we know nothing about.
Yeah, I'm going to keep saying it on – because I've been getting blasted on Twitter and people keep trying to get at me about Cam. I'm going to say this again. Look at your options on the football team. You telling me that they're better than Cam Newton. I think you're ridiculous. Secondly, about that, what you just said is funny. I had this discussion with my brother. And same thing you said. You know, I don't think it's football related. It's something. Because if I was a coach – And I've only won with this quarterback. You know, I've only had massive success with this one quarterback. You know what I mean? He's the one who brought me success. Then I'm gonna get him a call and say, hey, what's up? You want to come in? I know you're relatively cheap. You want to come here and help me out? You know what I mean? Especially again, you're not dealing with. You don't have a franchise quarterback on your roster. Or a young franchise quarterback on your roster. I don't get the big deal, but that's a whole different discussion, bro.
that's a discussion for another time.
It sure is, bro. It sure is. All right, posted the same question on our social media platforms. This is posted at Urban Sports Scene on Twitter and our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, and also on Instagram. On our Instagram page, Dujanae on IG says, improve red zone offense. That's what he wants to see improvement of. So, yeah, I think so, too. They need to improve their red zone offense. Their red zone offense has been atrocious. I'll ask this question, Will T. So, Will, what will Washington need to do to stay competitive in the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Take the air out of the ball, meaning being able to run the ball, reduce the number of snaps or opportunities that Tampa Bay has on offense. And then also when you need to not turn the ball over. And then, you know, we all know that Tom Brady gets the ball out in like 2.4 seconds. You need Chase Young to get home, you know, and if he isn't getting home, if that front four isn't getting home, meaning getting sacks, you need them at least to get their hands up in the passing lane and try to back the ball down.
Yeah, very good points. Definitely, Chase Young has to bring impact to this game. We know that Montez Sweat, we missed a number of games that he has a jaw problem, so he'll be missing a number of games. So it's all on the defense in terms of defensive ends. It's going to be all predicated on what Chase Young does, bring the pressure on that edge, and also you know Jonathan Allen played well at tackle. I'm talking about outside. I think it's all predicated on Chase Young. So, Will, you had a valid point. I mean, make a great point where they're going to need Chase Young to show out. I agree with the run game. I think it's essential. And they were doing some good things offensively. So, I'm going to give Scott Turner some credit because the defense was struggling over the last some odd games. They've been playing better. But I do think this helped out just because Scott Turner has decided to run the football a little bit more, which kept the football team off. I mean, the offense off the football field. So, if they continue to try to do that this time, and also this most importantly, execute while they get into the red zone, I think the game could be competitive. But that's a big if. You know what I mean? Because you're playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You're playing against one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, to many of the GOAT of quarterbacks. So, yeah, this is a game that. This is a game that no one expects Washington to win. I don't really expect Washington to win myself. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. So Washington finished the first half of the season 2-6. I know, Will, you like to do that split seasons in half. You like doing quarters, though, right?
Yeah, I'm a quarters guy.
You're a quarters guy. You're a quarters.
Football. So, yeah.
So what do you expect them to play any better in the second half of the season?
No, I don't.
Me either.
Me either. And I'm not trying to be facetious or funny about it. Uh-huh. When we look at a team and we say that we think that they can play better or we anticipate them playing better, we're able to point to one specific thing. You know, whether it's the quarterback is they're getting better play at the quarterback position, meaning he's throwing the ball downfield, he's not turning the ball over. You're getting more production in the run game. Your defense is playing stout. There's not one aspect of the foot, you know, of with you know on the football field that you look at this team and you say they're getting better at. You know, Taylor Heinicke looks like to me.
He's aggressive.
Yeah, I'm not going to say he's progressive.
No, degressive. You don't think he's degressive?
I'm not going to say he's regressive. Sorry. I'm not going to say he's regressive. I'm going to say he's met his peak.
Got you. That makes
he
sense.
He can't go any further. Mm-hmm. You got Logan Thomas out. For me, it seems as if, you know, they aren't able to consistently get the ball in Terry McLaurin's hands, or at least devise a game plan where you're able to use Terry McLaurin as a decoy, mm-hmm. and other players on offense are able to take advantage of that. You aren't particularly running the ball very well. Defense, your touted defense, their front four isn't accumulating the sacks that you think they would get, and the back four, those defensive backs, aren't having the greatest of season. Uh-huh. I don't see anything I can look to and say, yeah, I can look at that and say this team could get better from here on. No, not at all.
I will say this: I don't expect them to get better, but I mean, as a whole unit, but I do think their defense has played better over the last two games. Even against Aaron Rodgers, I expect Aaron Rodgers to do far worse. They only scored 24. I thought he should have did far worse for my expectations. And then you look at what they did. Even against Denver, they played pretty well. You had some messed up turnovers down the stretch. They got kind of tired. Compared to what I saw from this defense in the first, you know, the first, let's say it's like eight games, the first five games, I think they've been better. I think Landon Collins playing linebacker has been a big time improvement. Put it that way, a big time improvement. So he looks like a stud linebacker. To be real with you, I know he's been fighting it, but he looks real good at linebacker. So I do think that in terms of defense, he's been fighting it, but he looks like a stud linebacker. It's crazy. But I do think the defense has been better. But to me, from what I've seen in terms of the football team as a totality, right? It's not big in terms of to improve the team wins and losses. Because to me, the offense is still there's some missing elements in that offense. And to your point, Will, like the run game, they'll be effective in the run game, but they're not running the ball enough, or they're not doing things to stay consistent with the run. The scary Terry thing, which you're referring to, is totally, I think it's totally respectful. Like what you're talking about, not using him as a decoy enough, because it's obvious that Taylor Heinicke is headhunting Terry McLaurin. How come you're not? You know you're seeing double coverage or whatnot, especially with some of the players being out. So why not use him as a decoy and get other individuals involved, which will make life easier for Scary Terry. So I totally agree. There's certain things that Scott Turner's gonna have to do. I know it looks like I'm bashing Scott Turner. I probably am. I don't even care. But certain things that Scott Turner's gonna have to do.
I mean, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I know it kind of does. It's certain things Scott Turner's gonna have to do to help out the offense. They can do that. I mean, I think they could be more competitive coming down the stretch, but I doubt it. I really do. But I mentioned another element this team's been struggling in is the kicking game. They cut Chris Blewett, the dude that Rivera decided to pick up to pick up for while he cut it, Dustin Hopkins, who's playing well in San Diego. I mean, with the Chargers now. Funny how that works out. And they signed kicker Joey Sly, who went to college at Virginia Tech. I think last time he kicked was, I want to say San Francisco, but I could be wrong. Your thoughts on the move with the new kicker?
So Chris blew it?
He blew it, of course, man. Dude couldn't even get the ball over.
Corny joke.
No, but he couldn't even get the ball over over a lineman. Dude.
You know, kicking has always been one of the issues that has plagued this team. Uh-huh. You know, I can't remember the last time we've had been some years since.
Yeah. It's been a while, bro. I would say with Hopkins, Hopkins was good the first, like, 2 years. I'm not going to knock him. The first, like, 2 years, he was good. But other than that, it's been, I don't know, man. It's Washington, bro.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, that's most teams. Most teams have always, you know, struggled with, I'm not going to say struggled, yeah, but haven't had a consistent kicker. You know, you think of the teams that have, you think of the Patriots. Uh-huh. You think of Justin Tucker in Baltimore.
Man, I know everybody looks up to him, man.
Yeah. You think of Mason Crosby in Green Bay. and a couple other guys.
You went to the Patriots, like Gronkowski, and then well, before that was Adam Vinatieri, but then
yeah, Vinatieri, and
then Gronkowski, and now they have.
I think Nick Folk.
Yeah, Nick Folk.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. It's just
so you know most. Most teams, it's a turnstile at kicker. Most the average is like maybe 3, maybe 5 years, and then they bring in, they find another guy. But it just seems as if Washington, seems like consistent struggle to find a guy who is dependable. But we'll go with Joe Sly. We'll see how this plays out. What over under on how many weeks Joe Sly keeps the job, Wally?
Oh, I think he'll stay out throughout the whole year. If it doesn't mean he'll be a kicker, though. He'll stay the whole year. I mean, it's like 8 games left. This is too much. It's just too much cutting. And you're blaming kickers. Like, you can cut some other players, too. Like, I'm like, all right, it's the kicker. That's what we're doing. We're focusing on kickers. And Cam Newton's still a free agent. All right, man. You know what? The Washington Wizards are tied for third place in the Eastern Conference. We'll talk about the Wizards after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Inc.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole. Ray Jeezy is out. We are part of Ampire Media, and you can check us out at AmpireMedia.com.
Okay, the Washington Wizards are 7-3 and tied for the third best record in the Eastern Conference. How much credit does new coach Wes Unseld Jr. deserve?
Man, I think he deserves a lot of credit. I don't know about you, but I just think that, it just they just look different. What's your opinion? They look different.
Defensively, you seeing a level of effort and a scheme and schematically things that you didn't see last year or you didn't see during the Scott Brooks era with this team. Two, one of the things that I've always long been a fan of is he's using his bench. He's going deep into his bench. He's going sometimes 7-8 guys into his bench. I've never understood why coaches, you have a team, guys who you make practice for 2 and 3 hours multiple times per week, who know your plays, and you decide to go with a rotation of 8 or 9. That just never made sense to me. It looks to me, it seems as if he's using some of the things that they did in Denver,
yes.
With regards to using the deep, going deep into his bench, even from a defensive schematic perspective, funneling things baseline, where defenders can get help. So I think he deserves a lot, and I think he's starting to change the culture here and bring a mental focus and toughness that this team that we haven't seen from this team in a while.
Yeah, I agree with you, Will. I just think that he's been good, man. He's been a great coach. Your point, which you stated something that I actually wanted to talk about, you could tell that he learned well under Mike Malone, right? Because it just seems like he's doing a lot of the stuff that we've seen in Denver. Denver, everybody looks at some of the young talent that Denver has offensively speaking. But they play defense. They also, and that's what the Wizards are doing. The Wizards are playing defense. They also go deep into their rotation, which you just mentioned. They do that here now in Washington. So I like that he gets everybody involved. It's not like this number where you got to play 8. You know what I'm saying? Like, he plays what he needs to play. So he's letting, and at the end of the day, that kind of benefits you down the road with injuries, right? Some of these players will step up when folks get hurt.
Yeah. You, I think you said it perfectly. When guys get hurt, it's an 82-game season. It's a marathon. So when there are going to be times where certain key rotational guys are out of the lineup, these guys are getting minutes now early on in the season, so they get a sense of confidence, and they're sitting getting a sense of continuity with, you know, guys knowing where guys, certain guys like the ball, or where they like to have the ball offense initiated from, which I think is going to help down, you know, the further we get down, we go into the season. So I'm greatly looking forward to seeing how the rest of the season plays out for the Wizards. I'm enthusiastic. I actually got a chance to catch the game Sunday against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, man, yeah. It's a big game.
Yeah, and it was a great game, and it was a tremendous crowd.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it, you know, part of it, if it was aided because watching the football team didn't play on Sunday, but it was a great crowd there in the Capital One Arena.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's because of Washington. The folks don't show up to watch the football games anywhere.
Well, I mean, it, people don't have to show up
at football games,
but people still watch
the game. I got you. I dig. I want to say, like, the attendance ain't showing that. But you're right, though. They probably watch it at home, acting like me and whatnot. So we posted this on our social media platforms on Twitter. The homie Taj Wilson tweeted about – is Wes Unseld Jr. the main difference, the main reason why this team is playing, you know, playing good basketball? He said, of course he is. He's everything Brooks wasn't as a coach. Solid game rotations, attention to details. Doesn't use the rec ball way of coaching by just rolling the ball out there and telling the team to run. And he plays players to their strength. It seems like it. It really does. Also on Twitter, @Q_skin says yes, and defense. In the Wizards Nation Facebook group, Milton Jasper Jr. says coach of the year. I actually think if he keeps coaching this way, he has a good chance to be coach of the year. It's the turnaround. Go ahead, Will.
Yeah, I think he's going to have some competition from the guy and who his team is currently tied with in third place, Billy Donovan.
Yeah, he's been doing it again.
Because not only that, but I've always preached that in today's NBA, you need three guys that can create a play for you in the playoffs. You know, when your offense breaks down, that Chicago Bulls team has three guys who can do it off the dribble, and then they have a fourth guy, Vujicic, who can do it in the post. So that's going to be a team that I think is going to win probably 55 games, and I think that's going to put Billy Donovan in contention for coach of the year.
Yeah, there are a lot of good coaches in the league right now. Guys who really turn their teams around. Billy Donovan's one. You know, the talent is Chicago's got one of the more talented teams in basketball. I don't know if people really peep game. When you just mentioned Vujicic is your fourth, that's an all-star, that's your fourth option. That's amazing. I mean, he's not really. I mean, Lonzo, if you really be real, like Vujicic's
Lonzo. Yeah, Lonzo's probably your fourth option.
But you know what? I know what you mean.
When it comes to, we need a bucket.
You're gonna go to a guard.
Hands, and we're gonna put the yeah.
No, I totally agree. That's what makes it crazy, right? That's what makes them that team. I actually think we're going back to Wizards fans. But I actually think that Chicago is more than just they're contenders on the low. Like they're contenders. Put it that way. Like their team is good enough to be contenders, but I'm a sole believer in that. In the home of the Washington Wizards Facebook group, Maurice Mo Austin says, "Yes, he's the main reason. We see the coaching with the with this team, and players are executing." In the Wizards diehard members Facebook group, Michael Kirby Jr. says, "No question about it. The team's bought into his system." I think it's obvious, right? The team has bought into the system, though. I think that's quite obvious, like, right? Like,
absolutely, yeah. Guys are totally brought into everything that he's selling. You know, one of the things that a few months back that we questioned was, you know, with this being his first stop as an NBA head coach, would guys believe in him and what Wes Unseld Jr. is all about as a coach. And I think we're starting to see that answer that question. The answer is yes. Guys are believing. They're buying into everything that he's doing.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You never know because you see a guy in Houston, like in Bernie Bickerstaff Jr., and his situation is totally different. But I'm talking about even his first year, like, I mean, you had James Harden that's ready to go left, right? So it was just it was harder for him. So you always you're worried about when a new guy comes in, does somebody kind of want to, you know, do they feel like, you know what, I'm gonna take this in, I'm gonna listen to this dude, even though you know he's a young dude, I'm gonna listen to him. He may not have any championships, but you know what, forget it. We're gonna all go in with this individual, and it's cool to see the Wizards do that. I'm very happy for Wes Unseld Jr. I'm happy. I mean, to be real with you, it's a brother, right? A young brother is a coach. I'm happy for him, man. I want him to be successful. So
here's an interesting question for you. If Russell Westbrook was still on this team, would the Washington Wizards have the success that they're still having? And would
wow, that's a good question, bro.
And would Wes Unseld Jr. be able to get this team to perform at the level that they've been performing at on the court from an offensive and defensive perspective?
I think defensively, yes. I think that still would apply. Offensively, or they're not as deep, right? They're not going to have the same players because Russell.
They're not as deep, but do you think from a fun okay? Do you okay? Let's strip out the players.
Right, okay.
Just the way that they play offensively, you know, with the ball movement, picks, guys not taking horrible
shots,
3-point shots.
I think so.
Do you think that?
I think so. I think. I mean, there'll be some limitations, right, in terms of what the shooting from Russ. But I think so. I think Russ would. I still think they would win. I think they'll do. He would do things schematically around it. But there are things he can do, and I believe that if Russ is struggling, he would bench him and play like a Neto or something. I don't think he has. From what I've seen, Bickerstaff. What I'm seeing from Wes Unseld Jr. is just, you know, he has control of his unit. And to be real with you, I think if it was a fight, then Russ would be traded anyway, right? We're talking about Russ is playing his role and listening. Then I think that it wouldn't be an issue. But if Russ is fighting it, I feel that dude would be traded. Like, he would be traded. Like, and we got to get Shepherd. Damn, thank you. Tommy Shepherd credit because, you know, he didn't make that trade. He did bring in all these individuals, and it's been a great fit. You know what I mean? Like, you did bring in Montrezl Harrell, who's been phenomenal for this basketball team. So, I don't know what I don't know because you don't get – I mean, you may not – well, you're saying that Trez could still be on this team with Russ there, right? Is that the ideal? You're just saying just Russ, right? Just having a point guard like Russ.
No, I mean, like – okay, just having a point guard who plays the way that Russ does.
Would that interfere? Play. I mean –
yeah,
it would hinder some things, but I do think they would win. I do think they would still win games. I don't know if they would be. That's a hard one, Will. It really is. It's a hard one because I do want to give Russ credit because I've seen Russ win basketball games with less competition, with less talent around him. But you got to be a coach to coach to Russ' strength. I think I'm gonna put it this way. I have a lot of respect from what I've seen. I know it's early. I have a lot of respect for what I've seen from Wes Unseld Jr. to say, you know what, you would coach around Russ's issues. If that makes any
sense. That's fair.
If that makes any
sense. That's fair. I've always said that for me, you know, I've been watching, you know, been watching basketball since. The late 80s, since I was a young child. And Russell Westbrook and Allen Iverson are probably the two most dynamic offensive talents
it's hard to win
that I've seen.
Yeah,
as far as champion, like trying to assemble a championship team around them, because you have to be all in because their games and such, you have to build a team around them.
There you go.
You have to be all in on them.
Yes. No, I'm with you. That's the thing. It's a little it makes it difficult, but it is what it is. All right. So actually, I'm gonna take this break because we're running out of time. We gotta guess. So Canelo Alvarez is the undisputed super middleweight champ after TKO and Caleb Plant Saturday night. Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson will join us to discuss what's next for Canelo Alvarez after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
The Agents.
You dig?
Deuces.
Come on, man. And with the local DBC news, Ellen Cooje with a triumphant comeback.
More so than one. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T and myself, Wole. Ray, Jeezy is out. We are part of Empire Media, and you can find us at Empire Media at EmpireMedia.com. All right, right now we have Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson on the line. What's good, Wood?
Man, it's a great, what is it, Tuesday night? Yeah. And I'm on here with the USS, the mighty USS. I'm good, man.
Hey, man, it's a blessing to have you on, my man.
Thank
you. All right. On Saturday night, Canelo Alvarez TKO Caleb Plant to become the undisputed super middleweight champion. What were your thoughts on the fight?
Actually, it went exactly how I thought it was going to play out. And I think I said this on the panel that we had a while back. Uh-huh. I know we were talking about the trilogy with the heavyweight.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I just hadn't seen anything from Caleb Plant to indicate or suggest that he had been in that type of fire before.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, he had been on in those types of bright lights. Just going back to, and I know there's some questions here and there about the legitimacy of Canelo's record. Hasn't faced a lot of black fighters. You know, he went on the European tour, some people call it, with the recent string of guys that he faced that culminated with the bout against BJ Saunders, where he cracked his face and all of that. But I got to put Canelo in that. It's a group of four or five guys that's fighting right now, maybe six, that are violent, destructive. And it's bigger than boxing. They got a system of how to get their opponents out of there. You can throw Fury in there. You can throw Crawford in there.
Uh-huh.
Even you could throw Spence in there to a degree, although the knockouts have kind of went away for Spence of late.
Yeah.
Maybe Beterbiev up at light heavyweight. But it's a couple of guys who go in there to hurt you. And Caleb Plant, just coming off of that fight against Caleb Truax, I started getting really shaky over the course of fight week when I really started zooming in on Plant's record and realized that Anthony Durrell dismantled Caleb Truax. And here Caleb Plant is coming into this fight really needing to audition to – yeah, he knew he had the title. He knew he had the IBF title. So it was like the soul stone or the, whatever the last stone was for Thanos. And so he was going to get that fight. But to fight Caleb Truax and not make any kind of statement really started like raising a red flag for me.
It's wild because, you know, looking at that fight, I actually thought he did better than I thought he was going to do, honestly. I know it sounds funny, but it was really competitive, but he did better than I thought he was. I thought he'd be out there a little earlier, to be real with you. But he did show a sense of toughness. That's what I liked about Plant. So I did kind of, I gained some respect for him. But to your point about Canelo, I don't really get into the whole, because we've heard the knock about he hasn't fight black boxers or this, that, and the other. But I think we can all see skill, right? Because at the time when he fought Triple G, still, Triple D's one of the best boxers in the world. Not to say he was the best, one of the best boxers in the world. And, you know, regardless of what you want to say, you know, he had the outcome was in his favor. And also, you know, it was a competitive fight, and he held his own. Canelo, for whatever people want to say, one, he's an active boxer. He's ready to take on the smoke. I mean, how many fights did he fight this year? You know what I mean? So we don't in an era where guys take like forever to fight, Canelo's ready. You know what I mean? He's ready to go. So I have a lot of respect for Canelo. That's why he's, for me, and I'm going to talk about it later, but to me, he's just the best boxer in the world.
All right. You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene, part of Empire Media, empiremedia.com. Right now, we're chatting with Bite Down Boxing's Reginald Woodson. All right. Reg, I have a question for you. And I'm going to go a little bit off script, Wole. So
it's cool. No, I thought you would. I wanted you to.
It was reported that Canelo received a $40 million guaranteed purse to fight Caleb Plant. Now, we know that PBC has two fighters, Charlo and Benavidez, who could potentially pose a tough challenge to Canelo if he were to take either one of those guys next. Do you think, just based off of, because how lackluster this fight was, Canelo will feel kind of he'll feel a sense of responsibility to fight either one of those guys next, or do you think he thinks the fight that the majority of the boxing world wants him to take, which was a possible Triple G fight?
I think, you know, luckily he had time, you know, to make a prudent decision with that, with his next move, because we're going to get Triple G against Murata. Ryoto Murata, I think is how you say his name. They fight New Year's Eve or something. So he can see how, you know, Triple G looks at the, I don't know if Triple G is 38 or 39, whatever he, or even 40 at this point.
I think Triple G is close to 40.
Yeah, I think it's right there somewhere, you know, give or take 12 months or whatever. But he can assess how he looks. Does Triple G really reestablish himself as a, you know, as box office? And then he can take a look at that. I just was reading a quote a minute ago where right here on Boxing Scene is Canelo says that Showtime, PBC, and Al Heyman treated me so well. We'll see what comes next year. And obviously when you get a bag with 40 M's in it and an easy night of work, I think he can take a chance. And we're getting ready to see Benavidez against Kyron Davis in a couple of weeks too, or whatever.
Yep.
So the world is kind of his oyster, man. I think Eddie Hearn is going to try to figure out a way to try to, you know, save or salvage his relationship with Canelo. But he can just pick. I'm not trying to be political or anything, man, but he can just sit back and really let and go in any direction that he so chooses.
Okay,
what do they do for Charlo? Because Charlo will likely not be able to get a fight in, and I don't really like him coming off of a lot of inactivity or some lengthy inactivity to go into that fight.
Okay, well, let me ask you this: I think it's safe to say Canelo is the face of boxing right now, right?
Yes, sir.
Who do you think, for the sake of kind of elevating the sport, giving us the most competitive fight, who do you think out of those three, which one do you think would give him the most competitive fight? Looking at it, 6 to 8 months from now in May.
Man, I'm gonna keep it a bug, man. I really don't see. You know, Charlo is tough as hell, athletic. And that's what's messy about boxing right now. He's not going to have a fight at 168 before they actually fought. I would like to see how he looks, how he handles 168. I'm also a little bitter personally at the fact that he's held a title in two divisions. And if he moved up to 168, it probably would take him away from actually having a unification bout. And I think when he starts looking at his own, I mean, he can look at his wallet and his bank account for the fight with Canelo, but for legacy and boxing legacy, but I mean, it's all about it's prize fighting, so I get it. But still, yep. I think the goal should be to get the man a unification fight that is winnable. And I think that points him at Demetrius Andre, who fights next weekend. So, I know I'm talking in circles here, man, but boxing is just messy. Benavidez has done nothing. He lost his title twice on the scale and with the cocaine test. Now he's getting ready to fight. No disrespect to Kyron Davis, but, you know, he's stepping in for Uzkoteki, who got tested positive for something and was taken off. So what have any of these guys done? And then, like I said, if Murata could very well could completely upset the apple cart, defeat Triple G, who looked pretty pedestrian out against the, I don't even remember my man's name that he just fought. So I'm hoping that you said three. I'm going to go with a wild card and hope that Mr. Bob Arum gets busy and tries to bring Artur Beterbiev in there, light heavyweight, and that maybe they consider that as an option too.
Okay. That's fair. I think that's fair.
Well, you don't like Benavidez?
But it's this. The PBC has really failed to do anything to really build up Benavidez and Plant. That fight couldn't get made for them to have faced each other by now. Okay. And then gotcha. Benavidez would lose in his titles twice. He really hasn't fought. You know, the Darrell fight kind of ended on some BS because of, you know, Darrell was cut. And, you know, we didn't get a conclusive ending on that. So what is Benavidez just looks really great.
Yeah, he looks great.
He's tall as hell.
He does look good. So isn't like the Bud Crawford effect then? Like he looks good.
Say that one again.
Isn't like the Bud Crawford effect? He look good, right? Isn't that the same argument we can see?
He looks good. and the thing is this, you know, Canelo is so locked in. His money is guaranteed. I feel like he's like Floyd when you know, Floyd's last 7 or 8 fights. When you're going into your fights and your money is great, you're the big attraction, you bring out all the stars, you're the one, you know, there's one huge or marquee name in the sport. You show up for work confident. This man got Jay Balvin or whatever performing for him. I mean, he's a superstar in a sport that doesn't really have a lot going for it. And Plant, Benavidez, Charlo, these guys, in my opinion, their professionalism hasn't matured to what Canelo's has. Like you just said, the dude's fought 4 times in a year or whatever.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. You don't get that anymore. It's crazy, man.
So, he's literally representing his little slogan of no boxing, no life. And these other guys are like, I'm all into my life, and I get to boxing when I get to it.
It's wild. Hey, Will, you got something you want to say to Will before I let
I have one more question for you. If we think back to Saturday night, right? Boxing was up against a UFC card. Boxing consistently brings out megastars, right? And you know, in a pop cultural sense, right? Guys from sports, movie stars, rap, R&B.
Wait, the machine was on there.
Yeah, this is a sport that consistently brings out A-list pop culture individuals. Why is it that the sport continues to struggle when it goes up against UFC, and we look at a UFC fight and it doesn't have that star power sitting ringside?
It's because what I was just talking about. So many of these guys are inactive. So many of these guys won't fight the best fight the best opponent available. These the exclusivity deals with promoters, you know, with the promoters that only work with the network that they have a deal with, you know, a multi-year deal with. So the fact that we can't, you know, that there was no hurry, there was no impetus for Errol Spence Jr. and Terrence Crawford to fight one another. They're standing around each other for 2 and 3 years. In the UFC, you don't have those choices. There is no ducking. There is no avoiding. There is no cooking. There is no baking a fight. There is no marination. It hurts because that's why there's no longevity with many of the UFC champions. You know, a guy lucky to get to 18 fights and still, you know, be able to go into the ring and have, you know, be 95-90% of his former self, because you're constantly fighting his next man up. And then the fights more than often, the fights end with a big conclusion. I mean, some of these fights do go to decisions. I think the fight this past weekend went to a decision, didn't it?
I'm not going to lie and tell you I know.
I didn't pay any attention to it.
The only UFC fight I've ever seen was the Conor McGregor fight a couple of months ago, and that's the one where he broke his foot.
Oh,
hey, I'm with you. I was big on some of the women. I would check them out, and not on no pervert stuff. I just like the fact that the women. I like that the women actually use the technique where I thought for a minute I felt like too many of them, the men were doing striking or relying on striking to win fights. And I really don't respect many of the hand skills of a lot of those guys. So I just really wasn't that fond of it. But you see guys, and then let's be honest, here was a $80 card or whatever it was Saturday night. And in the co-main event, you have 38-year-old Anthony Durrell against Marcos Hernandez. Who was he? I don't know. He stops him in the fourth round. There's no chance in this world that Durrell can get a fight with Canelo. So what did that set up? What did that co-main event lead to? Nothing.
It's just a filler. It's filler.
It's just an album song.
Yeah.
It's an interlude. It wasn't even an album. It was an interlude. So you just get more bang for your buck. Uh-huh. The UFC gives you violence. You know, they don't care about your ring entrance. I don't even think you can have a ring entrance to a certain degree.
I don't have
you
no
just
got to
come in
that.
There. the one I can't remember if Adesanya is Nigerian.
He's Nigerian. My man Nigerian.
He had the choreography like right when he came. I think right when he came out the tunnel, he had like four or five guys and they did some little choreography. I think that's about the most you can get away with.
It's wild, man. It's wild. Hey, before we let you go, man, how could our listeners catch your content, my man?
Hey, look, you can check me out on YouTube, on the Pay Me No Mind YouTube channel, Sports and Entertainment over there. You can also check out my It's Always personal podcast. I got to get y'all on there for a couple topics.
Definitely, right? Anytime, man. Anytime, you know.
Right? Oh, yeah, anytime. Just let us know, man. Always got to support.
Yeah, and then other than that, I'll be honest with you, man. I'm not that active on the social media game at this point.
Yeah.
But definitely Pay Me No Mind on YouTube is kind of the major hub for me.
Okay. Bet. All right. Well, Wood, man, appreciate you being on. You know, let me know. Just shoot me whatever, text or whatever, and we'll make that happen to be on your show.
Got to get you on and talk about Swagger, man.
We do all of that, bro. All of it.
Are they doing the DMV AAU scene any justice or what?
Hey, you talking about hooping?
The series, y'all might have not seen it, but
I haven't seen it. No, I haven't seen it. Nah, I haven't.
Yeah, on Apple TV.
Yeah, on Apple TV.
Oh, Michelle, I don't got
Apple TV. I caught one episode of it.
You mean KD? You talking about KD joint, right? KD's
yes, sir.
I've been meaning to watch it. My bad, bro. I've been meaning to watch. I got. You watch your? Will, you saw an episode? Is it dope?
I saw one. It was pretty good.
Okay,
pretty good. I like it. It's I believe they are four episodes in.
Okay.
Yep.
I watched the first episode and I was like, yeah, I gotta watch this. I just have to find the time to watch it.
Okay.
I'm not really big on watching a lot of TV.
It's a million shows now, a million different platforms. So many. But
hard,
that's why you can come over.
Right.
That's why you can come over to Pay Me No Mind, where I'm breaking most of these shows down for
right,
you. I'm
that.
Giving you the Wood version.
I bet. I'm gonna look into it. Don't Apple got like some free trial thing? I mean, I got.
Yeah, they do.
I thought
they
so.
They
okay.
do.
Okay, I'm gonna watch that.
They do.
Let me watch it before they cancel my free trial. Hey, Will, man, thanks for being on, my man. Appreciate you.
Appreciate right,
take
you,
care.
Sir.
Good to chop it up with you.
All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, man.
Hey, well, let's go right into our picks. All right, I'm about to like just go into it. All right.
All right.
Let me read the spill.
I got it. Listen,
go ahead,
listen.
Let me
put my disclaimer out.
Go ahead, bro. I need to do that first.
These picks may or may not be my Week 10 pick.
Got you. Okay,
I'm
bro.
Just going with the flow.
All right, got you. So I'm going to now read into our picks, kind of like not read into them, but go into my spill. All right. After Week 9, here are our records in the Football Garbage Time Urban Sports Team Pick'em Challenge. Ray is 87-49. I'm 85-51. Will T is 84-52. Here's our overall standings in the challenge. Hakun Wong from the Football Garbage Time is in first place. Ray is in second place. I'm in fourth place. And Will T is in fifth place. All right. And you can also check out our standings and picks on the Football Garbage Time website, which is www.footballgarbagetime.com. You can also check out the Football Garbage Time podcast and all things NFL football there. All right. Week 10 picks. Ravens.
Hold on, one thing.
Go ahead,
one
bro.
Thing I have to say.
because it's football garbage time related, there was a winner declared in this.
Oh, my bad, bro. Sorry. Do you want me to announce it or you want to announce it? How you want me to do it?
Listen, I think people know already because I'm announcing it. I will pat myself on the back.
Go ahead, bro.
Football garbage time. They probably won't acknowledge this, but that's fine. I did win their survivor.
Relatively early, but
that's one out of three. I'm telling you, I'm going for the triple crown this year. I plan on winning your fantasy football league, and I also plan on winning your pro football pick'em.
My man in like the NWO, New World Order. All right, this is what it
Absolutely.
Is. All right. Ray, well, I can't speak for the fantasy football thing. I'm trash. I already told dude, like, I don't like that two quarterback crap. That's a whole different thing.
Me neither. I don't even like the platform that we're using.
I mean, it don't bother. Yeah, I mean that too. I don't really use Yahoo anymore like I used to. But that two quarterback crap, man, I don't even know what that is. But it is what it is.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. All right, let's go. All
right, man. Ravens versus the Dolphins.
I'm gonna go with the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. You know what? Upset special. I'm going with the Dolphins. Falcons versus the Cowboys.
This is my upset special. I'm going with the Falcons.
Me too. I was going with the Falcons as well. But I do that because I just hate the Cowboys. All right, Saints versus the Titans.
I haven't given this guy his flowers enough. Mike Vrabel is a hell of a coach.
Yeah, man, he's doing a good job. Titans. I'm going with the Titans too. Jaguars versus the Colts.
Oh, give me the Colts.
Colts as well. Browns versus the Patriots.
I'm going with the Browns.
Yeah, I'm going to Browns too. Bills versus the Jets.
I'm going with the Bills.
Yeah, I'm on the Bills. I'm like, I had to say it. Lions versus the Steelers.
Steelers.
Buccaneers versus Washington. Bucks.
All
right. Panthers versus the Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Yes, sir. Oh, hold on. Yeah. Who are the. I have a messed up pick. All right. Vikings versus the Chargers.
I'm going with the Vikings.
I'm going with the Chargers. Eagles versus the Broncos. What the hell did I do?
I'm gonna go with the Eagles.
Eagles. All right. The Seahawks versus the Packers.
See, this is what I don't know. Is Russell Wilson playing this week?
Man, I don't know, man. I don't even know, bro. Like, that one's confusing.
Is Russell Wilson playing this week, and is Aaron Rodgers playing this week?
I don't know. I mean, COVID for – I don't know Aaron going to play, bro. It's hard. That's hard. I ain't going to lie.
Nonetheless, Geno is the best of the worst of these two, so I'm going to go with Seattle.
Seattle, yeah. I don't know. That's a tough one. I know I skipped one. I know what it is. Chiefs versus the Raiders.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I'm on the Raiders. Rams versus the Niners.
I'm going to go with the Niners.
Yeah, I'm going with the Rams in this one. All right, so there's our picks. Will's picks may change, as he told you, so FYI. You just got to guess which one Will means, all right? You just got to guess it. That's on y'all.
I don't think you have to guess. I mean, if you ask me right now today.
Got you.
These are my picks right now.
So obviously,
right now,
folks,
at 9:05,
Tuesday,
November 9th at 9:05 p.m., those are my picks.
So I'm going to let y'all know. Y'all got to pay attention to the Seahawks-Packers thing, because that thing is subject to change. That's what the homie's telling you for real. Like, that thing is, we don't know who the quarterbacks are. Truth be told, that subject could change with me. I ain't going to lie to y'all. Like, I don't even, if one of them starters are playing, probably going to go with that starter. You know what I mean? Now, if Aaron Rodgers is playing, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. I'm going to put it that way. I'm going to make it that easy. If Aaron Rodgers is playing, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers. Hey, subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, tweet us at Urban Sports Scene and hit us up on our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Ampire Media, at amppiremedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Ampire Media shows, as well as other great content. Hey, thank you all for listening. Will T and I appreciate you. You've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeah, dig.
Deuces.
Hey, Mega, lead us out, big homie.